produced by Sound Image Productions.
Looking for news and politic talk for Christians? You found it right here. It's time for another episode of Christian Polita Talk with Michael and Mary Beth.
It's not Thursday night, it's Friday night.
Sure is.
And across my side of the studio over here, I saw a funny shadow when the music was going. Were you over there shadow dancing?
No. See, that's you don't get to see me anymore.
Man, I'll tell you folks, bear with my voice tonight. It is doing some really weird things.
He's got the funk.
I got something going on, not sure what it is, but
one of the kids has the funk, too.
We'll get through it. We'll just say that. We'll get through it. Welcome to Christian Polita Talk. Sorry we couldn't be on last night. We both kind of working out of town a little bit this week and couldn't do it last week. So we moved it to tonight.
That's right.
You got something to start us off over there with?
Yes.
It's devotion time with Mary Beth.
So happy Friday, everybody. Tonight's devotional comes from the coming kingdom. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. That's from Luke 9:27. As this world grows darker and the birth pangs of travail increase, we long for the kingdom of God even more. The Bible says that we groan within ourselves, waiting for the coming kingdom. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we eagerly wait for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. That's from Romans 8:22-23. The time will come when God's kingdom will come into the earth and God will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We will inherit the whole amazing earth. There will be a new heaven and a new earth without the Genesis curse. There will be no more suffering, disease, death, dentist, or dandruff. God himself will wipe away every tear from the eyes of those who love him. And so we say with the Apostle John, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." That's from Revelation 22:20. Then add a little prayer. Please save the lost before that day. The soul search tonight is, if Jesus came today, would I be ashamed of anything in my life? And the prayer, Father, pour out your Holy Spirit upon the lost. Raise up laborers. Use me to reach them.
Amen. So to anybody that was listening last week when we were live, you know, we had a little hiccup in the internet service here.
And thank goodness for fiber.
The show did, you know, the show was still being recorded live, and I put that out on podcast after the show. So if you were listening live, sorry about that. You know, we got everything back up and running now. We are going good. So tonight, a little bit later on, we're going to be talking about how a Christian should behave online. And then just kind of an opening statement, if you've been reading the Bible, you probably realize that social media is not in the Bible. You know, can you imagine Jesus walking around texting and scrolling on his phone?
And posting on Facebook.
Yeah. How many legit followers do you think he would have compared to the number of people who call themselves Christians? And since Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok didn't exist when the Bible was written, we have to turn to other scriptures that are relevant, relevant to Christianity and social media. And with anything in life, including social media, we are called to do everything for the glory of God. So 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So as a Christian, we're called to, follow Jesus, not the world around us. And being a Christian means being a follower of Christ. And Jesus wants us to follow him in all areas of our life, including social media. So, there's another verse from Luke 9:23 that says, then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give your, give up your own way and take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but are yourself lost and destroyed? So in the Bible verse above, just read, Jesus raises the question, what do you benefit if you gain the world, but are lost or destroyed yourself? So in an Instagram-obsessed world, there's more focus than ever on the number of followers you have. Somehow there's a view of the number of followers that you have on social media dictates your identity, your worth, and your status or success. But the number of followers you have does not determine your worth. Jesus tells us that gaining in the world, for an example, lots of followers means that means nothing if we aren't following him wholeheartedly with our daily life. So what is the benefit of getting thousands of followers if you lose yourself in the process? Jesus also warns us not to love the things of this world because everything in this world is not from the Father. So when you look at a majority of posts on social media, it's easy to see what Jesus is referring to. It seems like everyone is posting and sharing content that shows off their body, their beauty, or their possessions. But Jesus calls it like this, lust and pride. And since these things are not from God, we're called not to love or participate in these things on social media. Instead, the Bible urges us to set our heart on things above, not on earthly things that consumes the world. So, after scrolling on Instagram, you can see how easy it is to fix your thoughts and hearts on the things of the world that are not godly. And determining, our reason or motive for social media is also important. And Paul warned us in Galatians that, that as servants of Christ, we are not to seek the approval of men. It says, for I am now seeking the approval of man or of God, or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. So I want people to understand tonight when we go over this later, it's so easy to get caught up with what other people think on social media, whether our intentions for, using our Christian social media accounts are good or not, we can start to overthink what we post if we feel like we aren't getting enough response from people. How come this post didn't get as many likes? Or why is nobody commenting on my post? Like, OMG, will somebody hurry up and like it already? It's easy to start posting things on social media to gain others' approval, but the Bible tells us that if we are focused on pleasing others, we would not be servants of Christ. So we're going to talk about that a little bit more later on the show. I know that was a kind of a long opening, but, I feel like it was something that needed to be said. What do you think?
I think that's true.
So we'll talk about that a little bit more later on in the show. You know what time it is now?
News time.
Politics. Current events. It's what's going on in the world. It's time for the news.
I feel like there needs to be like something like that in there.
Like Les Nessman.
Yeah, this is Les Nessman on WKRP. No. There's been some interesting things going on in the news this week.
Yeah, don't say.
Really interesting. Like, I don't know. It seems like things may be catching up with our friend Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, yeah.
She's
been bad.
There's a bill now to prevent lawmakers and their spouses from stock trading. You know, and it's at a standstill as Pelosi is facing a backlash on this now. She recently denied that her husband bought certain stock based on inside information.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and Hunter doesn't have a laptop full of incriminating evidence either, right?
Right.
So that's one of the interesting headlines, you know, and it's a bill, you know, that prevents it. And, you know, while they hold that elective office, which was introduced in February, it's at a standstill amid a denial from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. That her husband bought stock based on inside information she provided him.
Well, how do you think she gets all that ice cream?
I don't know. You want to talk about fake handcuffs this week?
Oh, can we? Oh, this was so awesome.
Yeah, there was a AOC and company.
The squad.
Yeah, they were kind of picked up as they were. What did she say? They were exercising in a civil disobedience.
They were straight up protesting and making a mockery of things.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's very interesting. And then to act as if they are handcuffed.
Yeah.
And then do like a fist pump and then, oh, I'm supposed to be handcuffed, put their hand back.
Right.
And then deny, I never did a fist pump, really.
Okay.
Biden didn't fall off a bicycle either.
Right.
I mean, wow.
That's just a whole mess. I mean, you know, if I actually gave any credence to the squad, you know, if they were actually doing some protesting about something that actually needs protesting,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, that might maybe make me be more like, oh, okay, so they do care about these issues. But as we know, it's just for a media ploy.
Yeah, I think that's another one of those little shiny objects we like to discuss from time to time.
Oh, hey, why not, you know?
Yeah. And all these, you know, other things that, I mean, they're still talking about, you know, January 6th and all these other things. But
they need to get past
yet
that.
Yet there is more evidence than ever of Hunter Biden and them getting close to filing charges in reference to tax evasion, along with some unreported monies dealing with foreign, you know, governments and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's going to be interesting to see where that actually goes, if it does go somewhere.
Well, you know, I'm kind of wondering, since there is proof out there that Joe Biden did know about what Hunter was doing.
Well, there's that phone call.
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
That's kind of hard to deny.
And that's what I'm saying. But I'm wondering if somehow Biden is going to scoot out from under this and not get any kind of mess on him.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they do, and he does, you know, then they play that phone call, then not only did he know, but he's trying to cover it up.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, the White House keeps saying, of course, well, he said he had nothing to do with it, so he had nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. Well, we already know he's been caught in several, let's just say, putting a little bit of history with some of the things that he said.
Well, you know, he has also been referred to as the big guy by his family.
Yeah.
And the big guy was getting some payoffs, as I recall.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, you want to hear something interesting I just ran across? And this just why I haven't seen it, because it popped in within the last hour.
This just in.
But we were talking about Pelosi, you know, and the whole thing with the insider trading.
Mm-hmm.
Here's something interesting. A newly sworn in SEC commissioner, right?
Right.
Former Pelosi aide.
Oh, how nice.
Yes. Yeah, she was previously a staffer for House Speaker Nancy Pelosi before joining the financial regulatory body.
You can't see me over here, but I'm banging my head.
I can't hear it anymore because of these new mics. You know, it dampens those effects.
It's very squashy, so it's not hurting my head.
So, interesting story out of North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
This is one of those wow kind of moments here. There was an entire police department from Kinley, North Carolina. The entire police department resigned.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, the entire police department. And it's a developing story. They were citing a hostile work environment. So this is one that we are definitely going to be following, as there's not a lot of information about it yet. But that's one of those quick headlines just kind of pop in on all the news that I follow. So that's definitely one that we will give, you know, another look at in the coming days to see what develops out of that.
Mm-hmm.
So what about Biden's story the other day where growing up as a child in Delaware and leaving the house with your parents and you're in the car and you think that there's frost on the windshield and you turn on your windshield wipers and realize that it's oil. And that's uh-huh. why so many of us have cancer.
That makes absolutely no sense.
Well, there was a lot of radars going off on that whole sentence there, and according to the White House, the only cancer that Joe Biden has had has been a skin cancer, and that was some time before he took office. So once again, denial. It's not a river, right?
So they say.
So that's another interesting topic that has come up. Now, an interesting story, and I have not seen this in any mainstream media. There's a beacon of hope kind of coming up out of Ukraine right now.
Really?
Yeah, Ukraine and Russia have signed a grain export deal.
Hmm.
And this was a story that came out of Associated Press out of Istanbul. And Russia and Ukraine signed separate agreements Friday with Turkey and the UN, clearing the way for exporting millions of tons of desperately needed Ukrainian grain, as well as Russian grain and fertilizer. So ending a wartime standoff that has, you know, threatened food security around the globe. So this deal will enable Ukraine, you know, one of the world's key breadbaskets, to export 22 million tons of grain and other agricultural products that have been stuck in a Black Sea ports due to Russia's invasion. So the UN Secretary Antonio Guterres called it a beacon of hope for millions of hungry people who have faced huge increases in food costs. So this, you know, this is basically going to allow that grain to leave the Black Sea ports. And it's, you know, it's life-saving for people across the world who are struggling to feed their families right now. And I think, you know, I think that's great. And, you know, they were speaking on some of the food staples, the prices that have risen. I know, you know, we've been hit here at home. But like, for example, 187% in Sudan, 86% in Syria, 60% in Yemen, and 54% in Ethiopia. That's the price increases they're dealing with. So, I mean, there have been global impacts to a lot of these things that have been going on, but it's not the number one, you know, causer of everything.
I'll tell you what they should have done is they should have forced Russia to retreat out of Ukraine before they do any deliveries.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, there are things said about, you know, poking a sleeping bear. I mean, some things are, you know, I see this as a big step. I agree there should be some sanctions there in place, but just the mere fact that these grains and things are being able to be exported, I see as a huge plus for people.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that anybody should be punished because of the government that they have, but I think that would have been the end of this.
Right.
If we had forced that issue.
Yep. And here's another interesting Christian headline, and I want to dig into this a little bit deeper, kind of off the air, but the headline is, "Are the biblical end times upon us?" So the shocking Russia-Iran moment that just caused Ezekiel 38 to trend on social media. So Ezekiel 38 is a key Bible chapter containing what is believed to be important end time prophecies. And it trended on Twitter Tuesday. And the reasons are nothing short of noteworthy. So people were quick to point out alarming current events unfolding this week that led to some to turn their focus to this prophetic scripture. And so basically, Russia and Iran are getting closer. Embattled Russian President Vladimir Putin made what the Washington Post called a rare international trip to Iran this week, you know, as the Ukraine war drags on and tensions with the West continue to boil. Putin's trip is perplexing and troubling at the same time for a variety of reasons. First and foremost, Russia and Iran are shunned by numerous nations, most notably, you know, the United States. And these isolated countries share in that dynamic as well as their quest for power. And beyond that, Putin's trip seems to indicate closer ties between the allies. And as he met with Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, the Iranian president, Ibrahim Raisi, he met with him too before convening with Turkish president. So it's also impossible to ignore that Putin's visit to Iran comes right after President Joe Biden visited Israel. So a nation Iran has reportedly threatened, and Biden and Israel address concerns over Iran. So the longstanding global issue for which, you know, there's no real solution seems to be on the table. So take that along with the other global things that are going on and unfolding. And there's a whole lot here that needs to be discussed. The world right now is at a precarious juncture, and it's led a whole lot of, you know, many, many pastors and end time experts to openly ponder whether the biblical prophecies about the end of days are starting to unfold. So Greg Laurie, who's a pastor of Harvest Christian Fellowship in Riverside, California, reminded FaithWire, the words in Matthew 24 that warns of wars, rumors of war, plagues, and other such elements to lead up to end days. But Jesus in Matthew 24 gives us signs of end times. And one of them was that there'll be wars and rumors of war. And it certainly fits that. And number two, there would be pestilence and plague. And if COVID is not a modern day plague, then, you know, I don't know, you know, it is, and it's affected the whole planet, and it still affects us to this day. But along with that, others are careful in discussing these issues through the chaos, and when these latest developments with Russia and Iran are adding fuel to the fire, especially when it comes to Ezekiel 38. So what is Gog and Magog? So the natural question with these events and the proclamations in mind is, why was Ezekiel 38 trending on Twitter? Can't even talk. At the simplest level, these events above caught the Bible reader's eyes for fascinating reasons. It all boils down to the Gog and Magog prophecy discussed in that chapter of the Bible, which many believe references Russia. Many believe this Gog, an individual, will be a future leader from Russia, thought to be Magog. And according to Ezekiel, this Gog from Magog will attack Israel and other partner nations, including Persia, which is modern-day Iran. But God will step in and defeat the coalition. So the next natural question is, why do many Bible experts believe that Magog is Russia? And it was explained that including geographical placement and directional mentions in Scripture were covered on that. And it says, from a Bible perspective, anytime you have directions given in the Bible, then you always start with Israel being kind of the center of the compass. And it explains that these nations coming from the uttermost parts of the north, if you just do a straight line north of Israel, you're going to land in the middle of Russia. How interesting is that?
Very.
So this is something, you know, that we're going to, you know, definitely want to follow. And I'm going to post this story on our website. We'll get this posted up this weekend so you can read it for yourself. It is a very, very interesting article. So what other good stuff have you heard about this week?
Well, actually, I was just looking something up on my phone. Mm-hmm. And there have been confirmed cases now in North and South Carolina, one in Columbia, one in Asheville, of monkeypox.
Yeah, I've been hearing, you know, things about that. And there was also something else. There was an interesting story yesterday up north. They actually have, for the first time in a decade, there's a case of polio.
Wow.
And that's something you haven't heard in a long while, huh?
No. I mean, was it someone who is an American citizen or is someone who's recently come here?
It did not say, but they did say that from the test and according to CDC, that this particular strain come from someone who had received a by mouth polio vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause there was a pill, you know, for the longest time, you know, there were shots and things, but that vaccine by mouth was kind of banned here in the States, and it hasn't been given in a long time. So they're saying, given the markers and things that they're seeing, that it had most likely come from someone who was overseas,
mm-hmm.
who had been involved with someone from overseas who had received, you know, that vaccine. So that's something to follow too.
Yeah. And, you know, it says that in this article, from DHEC, which is, mm-hmm. you know, it's like our what Department DHEC? Of Health and Environmental, whatever.
What DHEC?
DHEC. It says monkeypox is not easily transmitted from person to person. It can be spread through prolonged face-to-face contact, skin-to-skin contact, including sexual contact,
yep.
and through contaminated materials such as clothing or linens from an infected person.
Yep.
But the other article that I read that came out of North Carolina, they were saying that it is showing a disproportionate occurrence in homosexual situations and yeah. transgender.
It's going to be the next AIDS epidemic, I guess.
It's kind of crazy because I was like, oh, I don't want to know how you know that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is definitely something to make yourself aware of.
Yep.
They do have vaccines for the monkeypox. So,
well, they have limited supplies.
Yes, they do. Limited supplies. Yes, you are correct.
And they do not recommend getting the vaccine unless you've been exposed to it. So
they're saying if you show up with a rash,
yep,
or, you know, something else, you know, you see bumps or like pimple looking things on your body, go and get one.
Yep.
So that's just my happy news for the day.
There you go. Well, you ready to dig into some learning time?
Kick it off.
It's time to learn. It's time for the message.
All right. As discussed earlier, we're going to talk about tonight about relating and how should a person behave online, but even more than that, relating to the world through social media. And, you know, a lot of us have been through a time when they have, you know, and I know you probably have too, where you've just got tired of an app and you've deleted it from your phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
So some time back, I held my finger down on a social media app on the home screen, and I hit the small circle in the corner, and the following instructions on my phone in bright letters appeared asking if I wanted to delete the app. You know, one tap and it was gone. And it really needed to go. It was a distraction. You know, I was distracted by everybody else's lives and unhappy with my own, you know, by doing that. And I finally became uncomfortable with wasting my time. It was like the numbing medicine had worn off, and I was tired of having a crooked smile, you know, that kind of feeling. And I was tired of the comparisons, tired of caring what other people thought, you know, tired of caring too much about what others were doing. Tired of feeling anxious, tired of feeling like I wasn't enough, tired of trying to make look like I was. And my relationship, as many people have had, you know, was like a dating relationship. And you stay in even though you know it's time to go. And it seems like no amount of insecurity or anxiety can break that attachment and your desire to stay. And I'd already removed the app before. And rearranging my home screen and, you know, and deleting these apps only to go back to the app store and get it again. And, you know, it was as if it was a toxic cycle of breaking up and getting back together and hoping that, you know, when I came back, you know, the problem that I had before would be gone. But the thing with problems is they usually are not fixed until you work on them. And I finally faced the reality that in all of my deleting and re-downloading, I hadn't helped any of our world's problems with social media, not even my own. And I also realized I needed to say something, you know, to social media. It's not you, it's me. The unhealthy side of our relationship would be easy to blame on specific social media platforms, but truthfully, I knew that this was not, you know, all social media's fault. I needed to change. And a lot of people feel that way. And it will be pretty naive for us to think that social media doesn't have an impact. So what I want to talk about first is some statistics. And millennials, those born between 1981 and 1986, you want to take a guess on their average time per day on social media?
No, I don't.
You don't?
Nah.
Average of 2.5 hours per day on social media.
I think I beat that average.
So I personally know people who spend way more than that, closer to 5 or 6 hours a day. I've heard people say that their screen time was 7 hours a day on certain social media apps. And it's not disturbing enough. A recent study shows that 13 to 18-year-olds spend an average of 7.5 hours a day on social media. And these numbers are on the rise. And as more of our culture and commerce revolves around social media, here's some things to think about. 8 billion live videos are viewed on Facebook every day, with about 1 billion videos viewed on YouTube and 10 billion on Snapchat every single day. There are 1,074 Instagram photos uploaded every second, making it about 65,000 uploads, you know, photos uploaded every minute. Every minute. And as of March 2019, Snapchat reached, of all 13 to 24-year-olds, and 75% of all 13 to 34-year-olds in the U.S. alone. 54% of social media users research products on social media, and 71% of users are more likely to purchase products and services based on social media referrals. So it makes you wonder, how do these numbers add up over time? Projections estimate that the average adult will spend 6 years and 8 months of their life on social media. Now, how can you even pretend to think that social media is not influencing your life?
Oh, of course it does.
Yeah, I'm not the only one in a relationship with social media, right? Nope. You aren't the only one. And I'm definitely not the only one with a sometimes unhealthy relationship with social media, spending too much time on it. You know, our prevalent social media use isn't helping us. And the stats above are alarming, and so are these. 90% of teens believe online harassment is a problem for people their age, and 63% identify it as a major problem. And the Pew Research Centers, in a 2018 survey of U.S. teens, determined that 59% of teenagers have experienced at least one of the six different forms of abuse behavior online. 42% name-calling. Being the subject of false rumors, 32%. Receiving unsolicited explicit images, 25%. Having their activities or whereabouts tracked by someone other than a parent, 21%. 16% reported receiving physical threats, and having explicit images of them shared without their consent, 7% reported that. So approximately 40 million American adults, roughly 18% of the population, having an anxiety disorder. And according to the Anxiety and Depression Association of America, it's estimated that 16.2 million adults in the United States, or 6.7% of American adults, have had at least one major depressive episode in a given year. So 9% of the U.S. population, or 28.8 million Americans, will also have an eating disorder in their lifetime. 10,200 deaths each year are the direct result of an eating disorder, and that's more than one death every 52 minutes. So I know we can't all blame this on social media alone. There are studies that attribute the problems in our culture and mental health to many sources. The breakdown of our families, the increased rate of children growing up in a one-parent home, the decrease in young adults' involvement in church, the rise in people citing their desires for wealth, fame, and material things is their number one priority. And to shift the shift in our society to live alone rather than in family groups. There are many contributing factors on the rise to anxiety and depression. And we're seeing in our, you know, what we are seeing in our society today, but we can't ignore the role something is playing when we literally spend hours on it every single day. Yet it's not only the number of hours we spend scrolling and liking that could be a problem. An investigation that surveyed more than 1,700 young adults in the U.S. compared the levels of anxiety and depression to the number of social media platforms used. People who frequented higher number of social platforms reported higher levels of depression and anxiety. So social media is continually changing, taking on new forms, with new apps being developed every day. just when you master one of them, there's another it program and platform that everybody pops up on. And I think it's safe to say that with anything we're spending up to 7 hours a day on, it's worth looking at closely and considering whether it's leading us to a life we desire. So many of us have a large social media presence, and although my own relationship with it has been unhealthy at times, like I said, I know that there's a lot of negative and even alarming content out there. I've also seen incredible things happen through these apps that give us a chance to connect with the world. And before people think it, this isn't some radical move to call for people to delete social media from every kind of electronic device around the globe. Again, social media in and of itself is not a bad thing. It offers a connection and a platform to tell a story. My story, your story, everyone's story. But because online connections are a picture of health of our world, I wonder if we should take a step back and get honest about how we're doing. So ask yourself, which people are, you know, or information sources are influencing your life the most right now? And are you being thoughtful about who and what you pursue? Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do, whether it in word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to Father God through him." So quickly, the world that was separated by distance and languages has been replaced by a world of instant access. There used to be barriers between us and the world, but now the world is in the palm of our hands. Communication has become instant. There's nothing to keep us from sending a message around the world within a moment. But the fact that we have a responsibility to God hasn't changed. It's only been enhanced. So some look at the World Wide Web as negative, but I believe it's a huge positive in our mission to glorify God and spread the gospel. So let's talk about God's glory online. Isaiah 42:5-8 says, "Thus saith the Lord the God, he created the heavens and stretched them out. He that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he giveth breath unto the people upon it, and the spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prisons, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory. My glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." His glory online is the same as his glory anywhere else. Is brilliant, radiant, and triumphant. His glory has the power to draw his creation to him. God reveals his glory online through his church. Ephesians 3:8-12 tells us that unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I shall preach among the Gentiles and the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heaven, places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he pursued in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of name and the faith of him. So as we post online, we must ask the same questions we ask in any situation or conversation. Is this action glorifying to God? And number two, how can I honor God through this action? Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You know, our influence online is huge. Our behavior online is to be like, you know, our behavior in person. We should guard our influence. We represent more than just ourselves. We should be honored to be chosen, you know, the chosen generation to have such access to the world for the cause of Christ. You know, first century Christians turned the world upside down. Okay? So as we relate to the world through social media, we strive to accomplish the same mission as we strive for in person. A good test of our faith is the content on our social media. There needs to be a Christian restoration online. If you aren't proud of your own online identity, change it. Recommit. Repent. Acts 3:19 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We are to teach the gospel. Matthew 28:19-20 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." We need to teach the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15 tells us, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." So don't allow your social media to lose its impact for the Lord. You know, by accepting sin, Romans 1:28-32, "Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who know the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do." We also need to remember, you know, harsh criticism and arguments. We need to watch that. Colossians 4:5-6. "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." And we also need to remember, by not using your influence for the Lord. Matthew 12:30 teaches us that, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." And Matthew 7:21-23 tells us that, "Not everyone that saith unto the Lord shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So in conclusion, I want us to remember 2 Corinthians 4:1-7. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we faint not. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of which we believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be out of God and not of us. So use social media for the glory of God. Inform others about His way and His way of life, His redeeming love. Bring many souls to the throne through your presence online. What'd you think about any of that?
Very interesting.
It is. And, you know, we all need to remember that, you know, kind of all eyes are kind of on you. And the things that you do online, you can't, you know, once things are put out there, you can delete it, but things are there.
Yeah, it doesn't ever really make them go away just because you delete them.
Nope, it doesn't at all.
I'm just glad that the internet was not around when I was younger.
Well, nobody's perfect.
That's why I have a memory.
We had Polaroid. Oh, my goodness. So, hey, anybody out there listening tonight, you know, if you have problems with social media, if you've experienced these things and you're not, you know, living your social media life or your life in general for God, you know, the first step is your salvation, praying for that, and then beginning your walk. You know, being admitting you're a sinner and willing to turn from sin and repenting. And believing that Jesus died for you, He was buried and rose again to pay the price for your sins. And praying to invite Jesus into your heart. You don't have to be in a church full of people. You don't have to have a pastor do it for you. You can do it wherever you are. You can do it listening live. You can do it listening on a podcast later on. Just say this simple little prayer out loud. Father, I'm a sinner in need of your forgiveness. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins in Jesus' name. I repent and turn from sinning and doing wrong. Right now I believe that Jesus died and rose again for my sin, and I accept his payment. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart right now and be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer and coming into my heart and saving me according to your word. I love you, Lord, and ask you to seal me in the blood of Jesus and to help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you pray that prayer for the first time, get yourself a Bible. Start reading the Bible. Start at the beginning. Don't jump to the end. You got to understand the beginning to know the end. But get involved in a good Bible-based church, a church that's preaching and teaching from the Bible. Find like-minded friends. Start talking. Start learning how to pray. Start praying for everything that's going on around you. Praying for everything that's going on for people that are around you. Remember to keep praying for things that are going on with what's going on in Ukraine, to everything that we're hearing about, Russia and Iran, everything that's going on in this country. Remember, the Bible says we should pray for our government. We don't have to agree with everything, but pray for the Lord to shine his light in all the dark places so that people build a better relationship with him. And hey, coming up next week, we're going to start probably an interesting little series kind of based around following Christ in an anti-Christian age that we kind of be, you know, all surrounded by nowadays? What you think about that? You and I kind of talked about that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be coming up starting next week. We'll be back on Thursday night at a regular time. You got any last thoughts over there?
I do not.
You do not. Well, just like every week, we appreciate everybody joining us. We appreciate your time. Everybody have a great weekend. And we will see you right back here next week.
Want to reach out to us? Here's how. Contact us at ChristianPolitiTalk@gmail.com. Also, don't forget our website, ChristianPolitiTalk.com. We appreciate you joining us and hope you have a blessed week.
Who builds a boat with no clouds in sight? Who walks up to a giant and picks a fight? Who turns a lion's den into a petting zoo? Who can have church in a fiery furnace? Well, I'll tell you who. Crazy people trust in Jesus, following him wherever he leads us. Kingdom seekers, walk by faith believers. Here's the church, here's the steeple, here's the all God's crazy people. Who brings a Bible into a public school? Who shares a gospel even when the world calls them a fool? And who's not afraid to go against the flow? Will cancel me and call me one of those, 'cause I'm one of those. Crazy people trust in Jesus, following him wherever he leads us.